Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. We're going to talk about money. We're going to talk about economics, Faisal. I think there was, the last year was interesting. I think a surprise to many people in terms of equity market rallies. And it's leading to some interesting conversations for us. You know, people that are it's the FOMO kicking in, right?
Fear of missing out.
Right. So let's do a bit of a review of what happened last year, maybe why we got that surprise, and then talk a little bit about what we can expect going forward
and
here.
I was speaking to our guest at the commercial break, and I was saying to him that you and I were fortunate enough to be on a call with him earlier I think it was last week or the week before, where he kind of explained not only the economics, but a thesis that people are not really talking about. And I asked him in the commercial break, are your peers talking about it? And we all hear this in the media. We're all focusing on agricultural trade and farmers and soybeans and all that stuff. But it's bigger than that.
Right.
It's bigger than that. So I'm really excited about these next two segments with our guest. We have Benjamin Tall, Deputy Chief Economist at CIBC, joining us today. Benny, welcome to the show.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, Benny, maybe we can start with, I let off this the top of this segment by talking a little bit about 2019, and it was a surprise in some respects. I'd like to just get a very quick summary from you of how you felt 2019 shaped up and, you know, if there were any surprises or misses that are notable.
Well, if you think about it for a second, 2019 was a year of divergence, if you wish. Everything diverged. The equity market went up while the economy was actually slowing. Mm-hmm. Within the equity market, the price went up while earning was basically in a recession environment. Then you have a situation in which the commodity space was stable while the global economy was slowing down again, diverging. Even monetary policy was diverging between the U.S. and Canada. So to the extent that 2019 was a year of divergence, maybe 2020 will be a year of convergence. Ironically, when it comes to GDP growth and all this business, 2019 was not a big surprise. We expected the economy to slow down, and we got it. We knew that the trade situation will be a negative, and it was a negative. We also, quite frankly, if you recall, expected the Fed to cut interest rates, what we back then called mid-cycle easing. The surprise was we expected maybe 25, maybe 50. We got 75. So that was a surprise. The magnitude of the decline in interest rates as opposed to the actual fact that it happened. So the question is to what extent now, 2020, we'll see a different trend. We think that the Fed is basically done. It's not a stretch, by the way, to suggest that maybe we find a situation in which they will have to cut again in 2020. But for now, they are done. I think you can make the point that the Bank of Canada maybe will cut in 2020, mainly because of the fact that they want to keep the dollar relatively low. And with the Fed cutting, the bank not cutting, the Canadian dollar is rising, the opposite of what the Bank of Canada would like to see. The global economy will not do better than maybe 3%, more or less the same as we have seen in 2019. So we are not seeing a V-shaped recovery by any stretch of the imagination, but you have a few things helping the global economy. One is the lag impact of monetary policy. Two is fiscal policy everywhere. China, Japan, Europe, the U.S., and even Canada using the fiscal tool as opposed to monetary pool to lift the economy. And a temporary removal of the trade uncertainty regarding China and the U.S., at least for 2020, before the elections. All those forces maybe will keep the economy going at 3.5%. Nothing to write home about, but not the recession that the bond market was talking about just a few weeks ago.
So Benny, when it came to what we hear from you of what happened last year, that wasn't really reflected in the stock market. The stock market actually did very well. Even the bond market did very well. Yet the economy was just trucking along. So why was there a difference between what the expectation of the market is and what the economy really is doing?
Yes, that's a very good question. The number one force that is missing in the economic story is not the consumer. The consumer is there. Even housing is there, clearly in the U.S., starting also, as you know, in Canada. What's missing is business investment. And here it's all about trade. The uncertainty related to trade is impacting the psyche of CEOs all over North America and Europe, suggesting that they are not willing to invest, although they have the money to do so. And that's the number one reason why the global economy slowed down, why the U.S. and Canada slowed down in 2019. At the same time, the bond market and, of course, the stock market got their fix, namely low interest rates. And that's basically the number one driver of valuations in 2019. Now, the question is to what extent we are going to see the same in 2020. Interest rates remain low, and in Canada maybe even go lower, who knows. At the same time, the lift that you will be getting from lower interest rates is limited. Earning, we're basically in a recession over the past 6 months, and still the stock market went up. So we might see a convergence between the P and the E, namely between prices and earnings. We might see earnings rising a little bit given the removal of the uncertainty regarding China, but also maybe valuations will not be rising as quickly.
So there's a couple of things. The fiscal policy in 2020, we've had central banks for 10 years now looking for some support on their monetary policy through government intervention and spending and fiscal policy and so on and so forth. Is that the story for 2020, Benny?
I think yes, because all central bankers are starting to realize that when it comes to the impact of monetary policy, it is diminishing. Namely, in Europe, in Japan, quite frankly, I think that negative interest rates, it's nothing. It's basically madness. It's basically madness. I think that they really cannot achieve anything by taking interest rates to negative. In fact, the opposite is happening. Negative interest rates are counterproductive when it comes to the economy because the savings rate is rising. Think about it for a second. You're in Germany. You are a baby boomer, so you're thinking about your retirement, and your German GIC is giving you basically 0% return, and you're looking at your retirement savings and says, you know what, I can. It's not enough. I need more. So what do? You save more. If you save more, you consume less. So negative interest rates are actually hurting consumption and therefore the economy. And that's exactly what we're seeing in Germany, where the savings rate is rising and the economy is toying with a recession. I think that negative interest rates is madness. And I don't think that the Fed or the Bank of Canada will go this direction. But even within the North America perspective, we have a situation in which the effectiveness of monetary policy is diminishing because the lower interest rates are, the less significant the impact is when you cut them more. And we're seeing it in the U.S. and clearly in Canada. And therefore, realizing that, central bankers are starting to say, listen, we cannot do more than that. So governments are taking over, and fiscal policy will be the name of the game in 2020 everywhere, China, Japan, the Eurozone, Canada, and clearly in the U.S.
So, Benny, let me bring it back home to Canada. We've been in Alberta feeling a little bit different probably than what we're seeing happening in other provinces like Ontario, maybe Quebec and British Columbia. We're having a bit of a challenge out here in Alberta. What do we need to do in Alberta? What's your forecast for Alberta in relations to the country? And what needs to be done so that we can start to see a bit more growth and get back to the somewhat of the better days of Alberta?
Yes, the good news is that we don't see oil prices sinking anytime soon. While the global economy is not going to be great, I think that there is some sort of stability in the market related to the need by Saudi Arabia and other providers to keep oil prices at about 60, 65, this neighborhood. So that's the good news. The bad news, we must see progress on the pipeline saga. This cannot continue. We must find a productive way of building those pipelines, freeing that oil, make sense, and finding a way to do it in a responsible way. I think it can be done, and I think that's where the energy should go. So, we simply cannot continue like that.
Benny, what about diversifying our economy here in Alberta? We hear that quite a bit. There really hasn't been major progress, although we are less dependent on the energy industry now than maybe 20 years ago. But do you think that it's easier to get these pipelines through, or should we put our energy towards bringing in more or diversified industries into this province?
I think we have to do both. I think that it will be good to have the ability to ship this oil because we sit on it, so we might as well reduce our dependency on Middle Eastern oil and basically get some Western oil into the East, clearly into China, something that we have to think about. But beyond that, You are absolutely right. I remember in the good days when Albertans were getting checks in the mail, if you remember.
Yeah.
I remember I was talking to the government and tell them, you know, this is the time. This is when you really want to invest your money and your energy into diversifying your economy. Those are the good 7 years. The bad will come. And they did. Of course, it's very difficult to do it when you are, you know, comfortable.
Yeah.
You only change when you are in a crisis. And I hope that this crisis will lead to something positive. I was there just recently, and we are starting to see some positive direction when it comes to high tech, when it comes to even green energy. But you're absolutely right, not fast enough. But I don't think we can give up the pipeline story. It is too important.
Benny, we have to take a break here, so stick around with us for just a minute. But before we go to break, Faisal, we should talk about our upcoming seminar because, you know, all of this stuff has to be brought into context of how do we invest and maintain a lifestyle through retirement.
There's going to be definitely some challenges coming along the way, economically speaking, that could impact their markets and your portfolio. Yep. So how do you bulletproof your retirement? We're going to do that on Tuesday, January 21st, 7 p.m. at the Hamptons Golf Club. You need to reserve your seats. We're almost sold out.
Yeah.
Give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400, or you can register online at morethanmoneyradio.com.
Could an economic cold war affect your ability to retire? Stick around after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.